All right, Jabo, say good morning. Let us begin a beautiful daf. We have a lot to do today. Emir Tzashem, our daf this morning is Nun Dalet 54. We are picking up on Nun Gimel of these 53b, and we are picking up again. We have a lot to do in the where the lines get wide, three lines in, right at the colon. We thank our sponsors for this morning's shir, our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Iyar, Menachem and Susie Schoenfeld, for the Aliyah of the Neshamas of their grandparents, Moshe ben Shimon Lev Halevi, Sarah Leah Bas Dov Ber, Menachem Mendel ben Dov Ber, Sarita Bas Yaakov Sender, Noach ben Avram, Fega Bas Meir, David Shimon ben Yisrael, Sarah Bas Yaakov. We thank our week of learning sponsors, Ari and Haley Lichterman, for dedicating the learning today. The learning this week. Le'iloi Nishmas Haley's mother, Linda Kotin, Rachel Leah Bas Ruvain Meir Zichron Levracha. We thank our day of learning sponsor, in honor of Yom HaTzmaut, Marietta Jaffe, in memory of her cousin Henry Levy. This is by Levi, Henry Levi, Avram ben Rafael Halevi. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah's Nesham will have an Aliyah. And the daf this morning is dedicated by our Mishpacha in memory of my grandmother, Zichron Livracha, Malka Bas Akiva, as well as Bernard and Varda Birnbaum in memory of their beloved grandmother, Miriam Bas Pinchas. We thank all of our sponsors, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the Nesham will have an Aliyah. And the family Zeinacham. And Abose, as was mentioned, we also dedicate our learning in honor of Yom HaTzmaut. We thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the incredible miracle, the contemporary miracle of the founding of the State of Israel. And we hope with all of our hearts that Emir Tzashem, that the same way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu clearly brought us one step closer to our Geula 72 years ago, that Emir Tzashem, we will see the culmination and completion of that Geula with the coming of Mashiach, Emir Tzashem, Rabbi Amenu. And we'll see with that, let us begin. So a lot to do. Amar Mar, Lo Yetzi Azov Bikis, V'Shalov, V'Lo Izim Bikisim Shebedadeh. So let's remember again, I'm on Nun Gimel, Mavais 53b, third line down in the wide lines. So remember again, we spoke about in yesterday's daf that the Zov should not go out with the kiss. Remember again, that was the pouch that the Zov would wear to catch the emissions. Below Izin Bekis Shebedadehen, nor should goats go out with a bag tied around their udder. Ay, Vahatanya Yotzos. But we learned elsewhere that they can go out with the bag tied around the udder, to which the Gemara says, "Vatanya izim yozos b'kisha b'dodei." And Rabbi Huda lo kasha. Rabbi Huda said it's not a contradiction. Hadame hadik hadulo mahadik. One is when the bag is fastened onto the udder very tightly, and one is when it is a bit looser. So we'll continue to see this distinction. There would be two reasons why you would tie a bag onto the udder of your animal. Reason number one was to catch any milk that was dripping out. Reason number two was to dry out the milk supply. So what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina would be that if you were tying on the bag to dry out the milk supply, that bag was usually tied on very tightly. Versus it to catch the milk was a little bit looser. The concern is when the bag is not tied on tightly, the bag may fall off while the animal is in Rosh Hasharabim, and the owner may come to actually go ahead and carry the bag. So for example, this is Shitas Rabbi Huda in general, as we saw in the Mishnah already, that if you're tying on the bag to dry out the milk supply of the animal, then ultimately again, that'll be mutter to take the animal out with that on Shabbos, because the assumption is that it is tied on very tightly. Whereas if you're only tying it on ultimately to catch the milk, that's when it's problematic. Rav Yosef Amar, Tanai Shakalta Me'alma, have you taken out all the Tanai from the world? Tanai, this is Machlokes Tanai, about what the goats could go out with and what they can't go out with. This Nan, because we learned in the Mishnah, Ha'izim Yotzos Tsururos, the goats can go out tied. Rabbi Yossi Oser Bekulim, Chutz Min HaRachelos HaKavunos. Rabbi Yossi says it's all Oser except for the Rachelos, the ewes could go out Kavunos. We'll see what Kavunos means. Rabbi Huda Omer, Izim Yotzos Tzrus Liyavish Avalo Lichot. Well, that's Rabbi Huda. Rabbi Huda's Shita is that you could tie a bag onto the udders, tie it tightly in order to go ahead and cut off the milk supply. But she, and therefore the goats could go out like that because the bag is tied tightly. We're not concerned that it's going to fall off in Rosh Hashanah. But you can't tie the bag onto the udder in order to go ahead and catch the droplets of milk. For under those circumstances, the concern would be you will not tie the bag on tightly, and halacha lemaisa, it'll fall off. Ibaisema, havaha Rabbi Huda. Or both could be the position Rabbi Huda of Lokashia, kanli yavish, kanli chalid. But as we said before, that maybe again, when we permit you to take your goat out with the bag tied onto the udder, that's when it's being tied onto in order to dry out the milk supply. And so the bag is being tied on very tightly. No concern that it will fall off and end up being carried by the owner in Rosh Hashanah. However, if it's only being tied on to catch the milk, that's when we're concerned. Tanya Rabbi Huda Omer Maise Beizin Beis Antuchia Shei Dadein Gassin Vasul and Kisin Kedeshali Isertu Dadein. Rabbi Huda now quotes a Braisa, the Braisa of Rabbi Huda, who says another story of the goats of Antuchia that actually were taken out with the bag around the udder for a totally different reason. Apparently, they had larger udders and they would scrape against the ground. They would put the udders in a bag so that the udders would not become lacerated. Tan Rabbanan, Maisa Be'echad Shemese Ishtabos, an incredible story. There was once a story of a man whose wife passed away, Ve'nicha Ben Liyanik, and ultimately again, he was left with a child to nurse. She passed away, Nebach, leaving behind a small child. And what happened? V'lo hayelo schar minika. He did not have enough money in order to go ahead and hire a wet nurse. Litin, V'nase lo nes, V'niftuchu lo dodin kishnei dade isha. Incredible story. A miracle occurred, and the man, right, the miracle occurred, and the man developed breasts in order to go ahead and nurse his child. Behenik Espino. Incredible story. Amrav Yosef. Shrav Yosef says, Ba'u re'ei kama gadol adam zeh shenase lo neis kaze. Shrav Yosef says, see how great this man is, that a miracle occurred. A miracle occurred literally to fundamentally change the laws of nature. A miracle occurred to change the laws of nature. Amrav Abaye, it was an incredible gemara. Amrav Abaye, Adraba, kama garua adam zeh shenishtana lo sidrei bereishis. Abaye says, on the opposite note, look how terrible this person is. That ultimately, again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to go ahead and change the laws of nature for him. Rashi says, "Ovir shenishtanu alof v'lo zocha lipasech lo shar sachar." So I will say, shar sachar. So listen to this. So Abaye says, look how obviously unworthy this man is, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have just given him more parnasa. Yet for some reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't give him parnasa, but instead fundamentally changed the laws of nature for him. So we'll say the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Ba'u Re'ei, Kama Kashem Mizonoso Shal Adam. We'll say this incredible Gemara. Look how difficult it is to earn parnasa. Because after all, Shenishtanu Alav Sidrei Bereishis. We'll say, how difficult is it to go ahead and earn parnasa? That sometimes it's easier for one's anatomy to change than it is for one to receive a raise in salary. So we'll say an incredible, incredible yisod, that parnasa is such a dramatic challenge in this world. This is the klala of Adam. B'zeas apecha toch alechem. Parnasa is simply a challenge to the point that sometimes it's kiviyachal easier for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to change the anatomy of a person than to go ahead and find additional parnasa. So I will say it's interesting that the Ben Yehoyada comments on this Gemara, and he says, Amrav Nachman Tevet the Misrachish Nisa below Ivar Mizrach. Just to finish off that Gemara, Rav Nachman says to support to see Kadosh Baruch Hu made mini. We'll say if God was making a miracle, Kadosh Baruch Hu could have also put $1 million in the guy's mailbox, right? Or could have also given him more money. That would have been a little bit easier. Let him get an anonymous envelope of cash, right? That would have also solved the problem. But you see from here, Rabbi Yosef, that sometimes, for whatever the reason, it is easier for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring about the miracle, which is, again, a fundamental departure from the natural order, than it is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give a person extra parnasa. Obviously, Rabbi Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. And the point of this is to teach us a lesson about how challenging parnasa is. Not that we need a lesson on that. I think all of us have learned that lesson at different times in life. But lemaisa, again, parnasa is something of great challenge. So I will say, what's interesting over here is the fundamental machlokes as to how they viewed the miracle, right? Ultimately, again, So you have Rav Yosef saying, this man must be a great tzaddik, that he was the beneficiary of such an anatomical miracle. Abaye saying, what a rasha, that he was the beneficiary of such a miracle. So we'll say, see, I understand the first part. As strange of a miracle as this is, you could understand how we would look at this person as a tzaddik, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed him anatomically so as to be able to allow him to take care of his infant child. But we'll say, what's the pshat with Abaye? That Abaye literally looks down at the guy for this type of miracle. So the Ben Yehoyada says something amazing. The Ben Yehoyada says, had HaKadosh Baruch Hu given this man money, it would have been a twofold miracle. What's the twofold miracle? Number one, he would have been able to take care of his child. Number two, the miracle would have benefited someone else because he would have hired the wet nurse and someone else would have had parnasa from this miracle as well. Now that he anatomically changed and was able to nurse his own child, the only beneficiary of the miracle was the man himself. I mean, the man and the baby. No one else shared in the miracle. So we'll say this is incredible. The Ben Yehoyada says that a miracle that only benefits you is not really a miracle. A miracle that benefits you and benefits others, that's a nace. That's a miracle. Sabai says the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu performed the miracle that only benefited this individual and did not benefit anyone else, that shows that this individual was lacking. God did the miracle because he wanted to sustain the infant. But at the end of the day, the person was deemed unworthy because he didn't have a full miracle, which would have benefited him and benefited others as well. I will say, an incredible yisod in what really is a miracle in life. The things that we have that benefit us and benefit others, those are the great miracles in life. Really, truly incredible. The Gemara tells another story. Tanu Rabbanan, Ma'ase ba'adam echad. There was once a story of a man who married a woman who was missing a hand. Gidemes means she was missing a hand. And what happened? Rashi says, Yada Ketua. She was missing a hand. And he never recognized this. He never knew this until the day that she died. So the Gemara says, Amara Ba'ure Kamatsnua Ishazu. Look how modest this woman was, that her husband never even realized that she was missing a hand. So the Gemara says, "Kamatsua ishazu shelo hiker ba'baila." Amar lo Rabbi Chiya, "Zu darka b'kach." That a woman is sanua. Women are often naturally sanua. And la kamatsanua adam zeh shelo hiker b'ishto. So we'll say the fact that perhaps again she was sanua, that's not a chiddush. The fact that he was sanua and didn't look at, just didn't see this in his wife. Ultimately, again, that's the Maila. So we'll say, you know, again, there's much written about this Gemara also. Is that true? Like, is that the Maila that a man wouldn't see something in his wife, or that the woman would always remain covered in front of her husband? So again, as I say, sometimes again, these Maisim are brought down for us to extrapolate lessons. The lesson obviously being that the concept of tznius applies between a husband and wife as well. Sometimes we think that tznius, that modesty, is just a din for everyone else on the outside. The Gemara teaching us that that's not true. There is a din of tznius, halacha lamaise, even bein adam leishto, between a man and his own wife. Good. So my levuvin, zuchar miyotzin levuvin. So we'll say, so the male sheep go out levuvin. My levuvin, amrav huna tutri. So we'll say they can go out tutri. Rashi says tutri, that ultimately you could tie them together in pairs so that they go out in pairs. My masha the high levuvin lishna de kruvihu. But say, I know that levuvin means that the sheep could go out tied in pairs, that they're close together. Dechsev livavtani achosi kala. So we'll say, quotes over here, the pasuk from Shir Hashirim, libavtani achosi kala. And Rashi points out, libavtani is keraftani. You have brought me close to you, my sister, my kala. So we'll say, the idea being so levuvin ultimately, again, represents close together. Ula Amar Ula says, no, it means Arsha Koshalam Keneged Libam Kadeshlo Yiplu Aleim Zevim. It means, we'll say, that shepherds used to put like a piece of leather over the heart of the sheep, so that this way, again, if the sheep would be attacked by a wolf, the sheep would not die. Apparently, when a wolf attacks a sheep, the wolf goes for the heart. The wolf goes for the heart. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Ze'evim ascharim nafli anekevas lo nafli. But I will say, this is levuvin is dafka spoken about by male sheep. So you're telling me then that ultimately that wolves only attack male sheep and don't attack female sheep. Mishum demasku bereish idra. That's because the male sheep travel at the front of the herd. So because they travel at the front of the herd, they're more often attacked by wolves. Ze'even bereish idra nafli b'sof idra no lafli. So does that mean that wolves only attack the front of the herd, don't attack the back? Ela mishum deshamni. Rather, it's because the male sheep are usually fatter, right? The male sheep are fatter, and therefore, again, that's why they get attacked by the wolves. The wolves want a good meal. Ubenikavas lekashamni. There are no fat female sheep. It's not true. Visu miyadi ben hani lahani. Furthermore, again, do wolves really know the difference between male sheep and female sheep? Rather, ela mishum dezakvi chutmaihu. So here's what we have. So the vuvin does in fact mean a piece of leather that was put over the heart of the sheep in order to protect the sheep from the attack of the wolf. So therefore the Mishnah teaches us that Allah Chalamaisa, because this was something that was very tightly fastened onto the sheep, you could take your sheep out with it on Shabbos. But why is it the men? So why do the male sheep get attacked? Rabbos, listen to this, Musar. Why do the male sheep get attacked? Because the male sheep walk around with literally, again, their nose up in the air, looking side to side. Rashi says, "Beidavu mabitin kan dekan lefichach miskanin kisurin sherozin lachem ba." When the wolf sees the male sheep and sees its nose up in the air, looking side to side, it thinks that the male sheep is looking for a fight. So because of that, halacha lemaisa, more often than not, the wolves attack the male sheep, which Rabbi says is an incredible musr as well. That sometimes again, you know, a person has to be conscious of the image they project. Sometimes a person walks around in a certain way, projects a certain image, it may engender certain reactions from other people. Now, the wolf might be a very humble wolf, but it's walking around like it's looking to pick a fight. When you walk around looking to pick a fight, or your demeanor projects a certain kind of image, or I should say, your image projects a certain type of demeanor, then halacha lemaisa, you can get yourself into some trouble in life. Be conscious, not just of the actions you do, but be conscious of the image you project in the eyes of others as well. Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak amar arsha koshel and tachas zechrusam kedei shelo yalu ala nekevus. So Rav Nachman says, no, the vuvin rabose was, interestingly enough, sometimes they would tie a piece of leather over the male organ of the sheep in order that the sheep should not mate. That's levuvin. So the Gemara says, "My midiktani seif avarechelim yotzin shchuzos." Now, both say this actually makes sense because the rest of the Mishnah then speaks about that the female sheep could go out shchuzos. My shchuzos sheochsin ha'al yoshalahem lemalo kedei sheyalu alein zcharim. Both say so shchuzos means that they would tie the tail of the female sheep upward to invite the male to mate. So both say, so these are two, so shchuzin and kvulos are not obviously, they're opposite. I mean, kvulos is in order to prevent the male from mating. Shchuzos is to go ahead and allow the female to mate. Reisha kadesh shelo yalu ala nekevus, v'seifa kadesh yalu ala yinscharim. Ultimately, again, Reisha is talking about that we go ahead and we prevent the male sheep from mating. And the seifa is talking about to enable the males to mate. My mashad ha'hi shchuzos lishna de galuyehu. How do you know that shchuzos, Shabbos said, needs to reveal? Tichsiv ine isha likraso top of nundalid shis zona unatsuras lei. So Shabbos said, you see this lashon over here. Shis, Rashi says, is notrikun de shchuzos. It's a contraction of the word shchuzos, and it means exposed. Okay. Harechelim yosos kavulos. So Shabbos said, the rechelim, right, the ewes can go out kavulos. What's kavulos? My kavulos. Shemechablin al yoshalahen lamato kedei shelo yalu alein ischar. This is what we'll say. So interestingly enough, kavulos means when on a female sheep where they would tie the tail down so that the male should not mate with the female. My mashma dahai kavul lishna dulo avid piri. But I'll say, how do I know that kavulos is a lashon of non-productivity? Or is by tying the tail down, you're going to make sure there's no procreation. So how do I know that kavulos ultimately means non-productivity or non-procreation? Dichsiv maharim ha'ila sher nasati li achi vayikro lahen eretz kavul adayom hazeh. So we'll say, this is talking about, again, when Hiram, when Shlomo HaMelech gave Hiram, the king of Tzur, a number of cities. So Hiram says to Shlomo HaMelech, what are these cities that you've given me, my brother? They are Eretz Kavul. Eretz Kavul. My Eretz Kavul. Amravuna, Shahayu Babne Adam Shemichubalan Bekesuzan. Now Hiram was complaining about the cities that Shlomo gave him because he felt that Halacha Lamaisa, they were not productive cities. So he called them Eretz Kavul. So the Gemara Rav Huna says, why did he call them Eretz Kavul? Shahayu b'nei Adam shemechubalan bekesu b'zah, because there were people who were wrapped up in gold and silver in these cities. Amrali Rava, Ihachi Hainu Dixiv Kilo Yashar Be'inov, Mibnei Shemichubalan Bekesu B'zav Lo Yashar Be'inov. I don't understand. If these cities, if the inhabitants of the cities are wrapped in gold and silver, why would Hiram not like that? Does that not show that the cities themselves possessed incredible wealth? Why would Hiram not like that? Amrali, the boss is incredible. In Kevan Da'atire Umifanki Lo Avdi Avidita. Because the inhabitants were wealthy, therefore, they were very fastidious and were averse to work. So sometimes it's nice to have possession of a rich city, but if you want to get a lot of work done, it may pose to be problematic if the inhabitants themselves at the end of the day are not used to working hard. So Nachar Bar Yitzchak says that in fact the land that Shlomo gave to Hiram was Eretz Chumtan. So the Gemara says, what does Eretz Chumtan mean? Rashi says, Melecho Mispakas. The earth itself was salty and cracked. So it wasn't productive land. Va'amai Karile Kavul. So we'll say, why was it called Kavul? The Mishtarga Ba Kara Ad Kavla. That when you would step in it, your foot would sink into the earth up until the ankle. Va'amri Inshi Ara Mechabla Dul Abdi Peri. And people would say, it's a land which swallows up until the ankle that does not produce any vegetation. Okay, kavunos. So we'll say, what are kavunos? My kavunos. Shemechabnin Osilmes. Well, so remember again, just so everybody remembers, the Mishnah went through all the different ways, all the different things that you could take animals out with, that you could take animals out with on Shabbos. Right? Ultimately telling us all the different things that animals could go out with. Now remember, the common denominator amongst all of these items is that they are tightly fastened to the animal. So therefore, there's no concern that they may fall off and the owner may come to inadvertently transport it on Shabbos and Rosh Hashanah. So my kavunos, shemechavin osalamei. I suppose the kavunos, interestingly enough, was when you have a young sheep, Rashi points out, when a young sheep is born, the mother licks the wool of the newborn. And the wool is exceptionally white. What they would often do is they would cover then the young sheep with like a leather jacket, like a full leather jacket, in order to cover the wool. This way it kept the wool perfectly white. They would then use that wool for a specific garment called milas, kidisnan, se'is kitsemer, lavon. So we'll say, because as we saw by Tzaras, a se'is is like white wool. Maitsemer, lavon, amurabi barabaye kitsemer, naki ben yomo, shelechabnen osolam milas. Like the wool of a one day old sheep that they go ahead and they use for clay milas, for this special type of woolen garment. Va'izim yotzos tsururos, and ultimately again the goats could go out with a pouch. So itmar rav amar halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Remember, what does Rabbi Yehuda say? Rabbi Yehuda says there are different. You could go out. The animal could go out with a pouch tied to its udder, assuming that what? That the reason the pouch is tied to the udder is to dry out the milk supply. Remember again, as we saw, there would be two reasons why you would tie a pouch onto the udder of your animal. One is to catch milk droplets. Two is to dry out the milk supply. The concern was that if you're tying it on there to catch milk droplets, people often didn't tie it on tightly. If you're not tying it on tightly, then the concern, halacha lemaisa, is that what? It may fall off and you may come to carry it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says that if you're tying it on in order to dry out the milk supply, people would tie that pouch tightly. That's what you could take the animal out with in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. Ushmuel or Mishmuel says, no, halacha k'Rabbi Yosi, v'yigid demasne l'hashmaita b'api nafshe. Others go ahead and teach this ruling independently. Rav amar liyavishmut, Rav lo l'chalaf. Rav says, if you're tying on the pouch to dry out the milk supply and it's tied tightly, the animal could go out with that to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. but not if you're tying on the pouch in order to catch the milk. Ushmuel Omer Shmuel said, Echad zavi echad ze aser. Shmuel says, either way, the animal cannot go out with the patch on Shabbos. I, the Gemara says, V'igad demasni laha aha. Others have a different version of this. Izim yotzos tzuros liyavish avalo lichalev. Goats could go out with their pouches attached to their udders to dry out the milk supply, but not to catch milk. Mishom Rav Yehuda ben Beseira Amar, Kach halacha. This is the halacha. Rabbi say, who's going to know when someone sees an animal with a pouch tied to its udder, who's going to know if it's there to catch milk or if it's there to dry out the milk supply? Therefore, and therefore, because it's impossible to distinguish why the pouch is tied there, both will be aser. So Rabbi Huda ben Beseira seems to say that there's almost like a marasayan issue over here. I may be taking out my goat with the bag tied to the udder, and the bag is tied tightly to dry out the milk supply. I know that. But when someone else sees that, they don't know. All they see is a pouch tied to the udder. And they may erroneously think that therefore they could tie the pouch to the udder even to what? To just catch milk. Therefore, Rabbi Huda ben Beseira says, everything is aser. So the Gemara says, Amr Shmuel, Amr Amr Rabbi Huda, Amr Shmuel, Lach Rabbi Huda ben Beseira. So we'll say, sure, Shmuel says, Rabbi Huda says, in name of Shmuel, that halacha lamaisa, that halacha falls Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, ki aser rabin, Amr Rabbi Huda, halacha kitana kama. So we'll say, halacha lamaisa, how do we paskin? Good to know this. Maybe this might come in handy. Right? Shulchan Aruch paskins that ultimately, again, you could take your goat out on Shabbos with a pouch tied to the udder if your intention is to tie out the milk supply. So we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, not like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira. So halacha lemaaseh, if the pouch is being tied on to the udder to dry out the milk supply, then halacha lemaaseh, we know that it'll be tied tightly, and because it is tied tightly, there is no concern that the pouch will fall off and the owner may come to inadvertently transport it in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. That is the halacha. Good, Rabbi Yosei, says the Mishnah. Ubama in a yotza. And Rabbi Yosei, so up until now, we've been focusing on what an animal is permitted to wear out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim on Shabbos. Now we're transitioning. What can't an animal wear out on Shabbos? So ma'ina yotza, so lo yetzi gom b'mitul teles. A camel can't go out with a mitul teles. So Rashi says, gives two girsos, two explanations. We're going to go with the second one, which is a mardas, a saddle cloth. A saddle cloth. A donkey also used to have a saddle cloth, so the donkey can't go out with its saddle cloth on Shabbos. Again, so we'll discuss why this is. Lo akar velo ruggle. Simei Gan Rabbah say the camel also can't go out. Akar and ruggle. We'll define these terms. But akar and ruggle also would be that sometimes what they would do is they would chain or tie the legs of the donkey of the camel together in order that the camel couldn't run away. So we'll say it doesn't literally mean that they can't move. It can walk, but it just can't take large strides. That's akar. Ruggle, we're going to see, means sometimes what they would do is they would bend the foreleg up. I guess the camel is very, very flexible. They would bend the foreleg up and tie it like to the upper part of the leg, again, to prevent the camel from running away. So you can't do that on Shabbos. V'chein shar kol ha-behemes. And this is true with all other animals as well. Lo yikshar gemalim zeh bazeh. V'yim shoch. You cannot tie camels together and ultimately pull them as one. However, aval machnis. But what you can do is you can take all of the leashes from all of the cats. So most of what you can't do is you can't tie all of the leashes together and pull them like one. What you can do is take all of the leashes in your hand together and pull them together. As long as you don't tie the leashes together. We'll see exactly what that means in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, "Vayder Tana lo yetsi agamo mitotalzak shurlo biznavo, aval hu yotze hu bimitotalzak shura biznavo ubechutraso." So what says the Raisa says over here, a camel cannot go out with a saddlecloth that is tied to its tail, but it can go out with a saddlecloth that is tied to its tail and to its hump. So what says? So apparently, the issue with the saddlecloth is that we're concerned that if the camel wears it out in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, it'll fall off. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, if the saddlecloth is tied both to the tail and to the hump, so therefore it is secure on the animal. Therefore, halacha lemaisa, you could take the animal out with it on Shabbos. Amar Rabbi Rav Huna, yotzi agam mitutalas ekshur la bishul yasa. Similarly, again, Rabbi Rav Huna said, that if the animal has a partially delivered placenta, you could, if you tie the saddlecloth to the placenta, ultimately, again, the camel could go out with that on Shabbos as well, because again, then to shake off the saddlecloth will cause it extreme pain. Lo akar velo rago. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Akar, what's akar? Akud, excuse me. Akidas yad v'regel ki Yitzchak ben Avram. We'll say an incredible Gemara. So we'll say akud means literally tying the front leg to the back leg, just in the same way that Avram tied up Yitzchak during the Akedah. So we'll say, so the Medrash relates that when Avram was ready to sacrifice Yitzchak Avinu, so if you could imagine, Yitzchak was placed, you know, face down on the altar, and he was tied his hands to his feet. His hands to his feet. So the reason he was done that is so that his neck would be extended upward to make Shechita easy. That's akud. Ragul, shelo yakov yado agabiz ra'o. Ragul means that ultimately, again, you should not take the foreleg and tie it up to the upper leg. So we'll say again, the reason you would do these things is in order to prevent the animal from running away. You can't do these things on Shabbos because apparently they cause the animal some level of tsar. So meisvei akud shtei adayim ushtei raglayim. So we'll say the Braisa says the other interpretation is that akud means tying the two forelegs and the two hind legs together. Now, so not fore and hind, but rather fore and fore, hind and hind. So the Gemara says, "Ragul shelo yakov yado agab Yisrael v'yikshar hu domer ki aitana." He says like the following time: the sanya akud akidas yad v'regel o shtei adayim ushtei raglayim. So we'll say, so he says like this: akud can mean either tying the front leg to the hind leg, or for that matter, tying the front legs together and the hind legs together. I will say the idea is the same. The idea just is that the animal cannot take large strides. Vakati, Ragul, excuse me. Ragul shlo yakov yadav gabiz ravi yiksha. Vakati, lo dam. He's still not comparable. So bishlam areisha v'seifa necha. So the beginning and end of the braisa makes sense. Mitzias akashya, but still there's a contradiction to the middle case. Elohu damar ki aitana. Akud, so now let's get our definitions. What's akud? Akidas yad v'regel ki Yitzchak ben Avram. So we'll say akud is, as we said before, a tying of the front leg to the hind leg, just like Avram tied Yitzchak by the Akedah. Ragu, shelo yakov yado agabiz ra'o v'yikshar. Ragu is that you shouldn't take the bottom leg, fold it upwards, and tie it to the upper part of the leg in order to prevent the animal from running away. Okay, velo yikshar gimalim. Similarly, again, you can't tie camels together. Why not? My time amnavashi mishun nemechzi kimanda azi lechinga. Because I will say, it looks like you're going to the marketplace. In other words, if you are going to sell camels, what would you do? You would tie them together and you would lead them out as one. So it looks like you're about to engage in commerce. However, what can you do? Ava machnis. You could hold all of the leashes in your hand as one. Amnavashi. Shavuot says, remember again, it says you could go ahead and hold the leashes in your hand, ubilvad shelo yichroch, as long as you don't knot them. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, so Rav Ashi lo shonu ela inyan kilayim. So we'll say, because what's going to be the problem of knotting them? So apparently there's a shatnez issue. A shatnez issue. So what's the Gemara says, kilayim demai. So what does that mean? A kilayim, or I should say a forbidden mixture. Ilema kilayim de adam. If you want to see Rabbi say that there's an issue ultimately again of kilayim de adam. So look at Rashi just a moment. Le'inyim kilayim shanui. Hai shalo yichroch de masnisin lo shayach be iser Shabbos. Elamishum kilayim. So we'll say, so now interestingly enough, the issue of apparently knotting the ropes together in your hand is not a problem ultimately of Hilchos Shabbos, but rather a problem of Hilchos Shatnez. So the Gemara says, Rabosai, so I'll say at the end of the day, right, it was just mentioned, so I've kind of, right, Shatnez, this week's parasha, incredible Ara. So I'll say, so ultimately again, so halacha lemaisa, so what's the Shatnez? What's the shatnez? The Gemara says. Ilay mekilayim da adam. If you want to say it's a kilayim of the person. Suppose what that means is maybe is a kilayim if the donkeys are tied to the person and the person and the donkey are walking together. Is that a quote unquote forbidden mixture? Vahatnan mutter. We'll see what that means as well. Mutter im kulam lachrosh v'limshach. Suppose the halachas, for example, the laws of forbidden mixtures. forbid you from plowing with sometimes two different species of animals, right? Shor v'chamor, right? You can't go out and plow together with a shor and a chamor, an ox and a donkey. So he's telling you then that if the camels are tied to me, so it's as if we're walking together, there's a kilayim like that, that's not true. Because they will say, again, a person, for example, is permitted to plow along with an animal, and there's no forbidden mixture in that. Ella, kilayim dechavalim. Rather, it must be shatness of the ropes themselves. I vatanya vatanya. Rabbi Rashi says kilaim dechavalim sheish ben chevlei tzemer vechevlei pishdon v'chi karich lo kilaim v'yadom mischamem mispachizas. So Rabbi Shimon is coming answer. So we'll say it must be that what? It must be that the camels. One camel has a woolen leash. One camel has a linen leash. And what's the problem? If I tie them around my hand, I am getting benefit from shatness. I'm getting benefit from shatness. Maybe that's the problem. So the Gemara says, really? Vatanya, hatokif tekifa achas in a chibur liolam. Eino chibur. I will say that halacha is that in order for shatness to be problematic, the wool and linen really have to be attached. So for example, if you were to attach a piece and a piece of linen, a piece of wool and a piece of linen through one thread, or through a piece of scotch tape, that would not be shatnez. Shatnez really has to be woven together. So we'll say, so this act, so let's say for argument's sake, I have a bunch of camels, one has a leash of wool, one has a leash of linen, and I tie them around my hand. Is that really, at the end of the day, shatnez? Is that really a chibur? Is that really a connection? So the Gemara says, rather, li'olam kilayim dechavalim v'achi kamar obilvad shlo yichroch v'yikshar. Shabbos say, what are we concerned about? That ain't a chinami. The only problem, the only time that the shatnez would cause a problem is if you wrap it and tie it. If you wrap it and tie the leashes around your hand, then ain't a chinami, that would be enough of a connection of the wool and the linen to be considered shatnez. Okay, so the Gemara says, Amar Shmuel, ubilvat shlo yetzi chevel mitachas yado tefach. But in general, so this is nothing to do with shatnez. Now back to Ilchos Shabbos. So Shmuel says, if you are holding the leash of an animal, you must make sure that halacha lemaisa, the leash does not hang down more than one tefach from your hand. What's the concern? Because if people see that the leash is hanging down more than one tefach, they may not realize that it's a leash, and they may just think that you're carrying a rope of some sort. So the Gemara says, "I va tana de be Shmuel tfachayim." I, but Shmuel said it's really two tfachim. Am Rabbi Hashad Am Shmuel tefach. The tana de be Shmuel tfachayim. Shmuel halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa. So we'll say, therefore, really, what it comes down to is as follows: really, it's only problematic if the leash hangs down two tfachim from your hand, because then it will have the appearance that what? It'll have the appearance that halacha lemaisa, you're holding a rope, and people may not see that that rope is actually really part of a leash. You're not really carrying a rope, you're carrying a leash. So really, it's only a problem if it extends to tefachim. But Shmuel said, in order to go ahead and avoid any type of problem, limited at one tefach. Amud Beis, I v'hatanya ubilvad shiagbia min hakarka tefach. I v'hatrin Rabbo said that in general, halacha lemaisa, you should make sure that the rope of the leash is always at least more than a tefach off the ground. Kitanya hi bechavla de beni beni. They both say, interestingly enough, that's talking about the actual leash in between the person and the animal. That halacha lemaisa, the leash that sags between the animal and the person, that leash should always be at least a tefach or more off the ground. What's the concern with the part of the leash that sags? Look at Rashi. Bechavla de beni beni sheben yado legama bahu kamar kamat de boi nehavi ubilat shiag bienu min akarka tefach kidei shetei nira ha behema nimshechabo dilo lo mischazi netirusa de behema ela kamase ba'ama shei nira shochiz rosha biyadar. Both say, this is very interesting. You see, a leash is permitted because halacha lemaisa, it's necessary for the leading of the animal. If the leash sags to the point that ultimately, again, it is within a tefach of the ground, the leash itself looks useless, and it has the appearance that you're just carrying a rope. Therefore, again, the leash should always be at least a tefach off the ground. Therefore, people will see that it's a useful leash, and no one will think that you are just carrying a rope around on Shabbos. Good. Mishnah. Let's see if we go weiter. Ein chamor yotzi b'maradas b'zman she'ena kshula. Paul says, you saw before, a chamor donkey cannot go out with a saddle cloth if it's not tied onto the donkey. We already spoke about this before. V'lo b'zug af apish upako. Furthermore, the donkey can't go out with a bell around its neck, even though the bell is plugged up. So the Gemara says, it's not making any noise. You still can't go on with it. Still can't take it out. Still can't. We'll see why. Furthermore, again, you can't take the donkey out with the ladder on its neck. We'll discuss what the ladder means in the Gemara. And you also can't take the donkey out with the strap that is attached to its leg, to its foot, actually. Furthermore, again, chickens cannot go out with strings attached. Also can't go out with the ritzua, the strap that is attached to their legs. Again, we'll see what all of this means. So I'll say, furthermore again, male sheep can also not go out with a little wagon that's underneath their tail. So Rashi points out to us something very interesting, that apparently the rams, the male rams, would often have large, fat tails. And because there's no bone in it or muscle in it, so apparently it would drag. Because it would drag, it would get bruised. So they used to construct, interestingly, these little wagons that would be attached to the ram. The ram would put, or the owner would put the tail of the ram on the wagon, and that's how the ram would walk around. Can't go out with the wagon on Shabbos. Ve'en rachilim yotzos chanunos, right? The ewes, female sheep, cannot go out chanunos. Ve'en ha'egel yotze begimon. And similarly, again, the calf cannot go out begimon. Again, we're going to define all of these terms. For the para ba'ara kufar, interestingly enough, Rabbis, we're going to see, this means the cow cannot go out. So I said, what they used to do, the concern with the cow is very often rodents would nurse from the udders of the cow. So what they used to do is they would cover the udder of the cow with the skin of a kupar. So we'll say kupar could either be, sometimes it's translated as a porcupine, sometimes it's translated as a hedgehog. Okay, the idea would be that they would put some type of leather covering over the udder of the cow so that other animals should not nurse from the cow. The cow also can't go out with the strap that's around its horns. Yet the cow of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah used to go out with the ritzua, with the strap or with the string between its horns. But the chachamim were not happy with Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. So we'll see, here we go. Says the Gemara, my time. So number one, why can't the donkey go out unless of course on Shabbos, unless of course the saddle cloth is tied onto the donkey? So we'll say, as we said before, Kidamran, as we said before, that halacha lemaisa, if it's not tied onto the donkey on Erev Shabbos, that indicates that the owner does not view it as a true necessity for the animal, and therefore you can't take the animal out with it on Shabbos. That already we saw 2 days ago, that as much as the saddle cloth is an important accessory for the donkey to keep it warm, the only way that the owner demonstrates that it is a true necessity for the animal is if it's tied onto the animal already on Erev Shabbos. Next, v'lo b'zug shu pakuk, and I will say you can't take an animal, you can't take the donkey out with the bell around its neck, even if the bell is stopped up so that it doesn't make noise. Mishon demechzi kiman da'azel lechinga, because we'll say it has the appearance of one who's going out to the marketplace. That's because, again, which makes sense, when you wanted to sell animals, so how would you do it? You would put a bell around it so everybody would know that the animal is coming. V'lo b'sulun shevetzavaro, can't take the animal out with the ladder around the neck. We'll say, what ladder are we talking about? Am rafuna be'lua. So we'll say, l'may avdilein, le'echa de'islin mako, de'lo hader chayichbe. So we'll say, what this was is essentially, it's like a type of neck brace. What they would do is, if the animal had an injury on the side of its head, they didn't want the animal to scratch the injury because that could infect it. So what they used to do is they would tie like a brace to the side of the head so that the animal could not turn its head. That brace was called a ladder. I guess it looked like a ladder. And that's, you see, you can't go out with that on Shabbos. Furthermore, you can't go out with the strap that's on its foot. The avdi le gizra. So we'll say, ultimately, again, we do this, gizra means, so we'll say, so sometimes the way an animal would walk is its hoofs would hit each other and would cause it injury. So sometimes what they would do is they would tie a ritzua, a rope, around the hooves or one of the hooves, so that even if the hooves would clank together, it would not cause an injury. The animal cannot go out with that on Shabbos. So we'll say, remember again, the general rule is that an animal only goes out with something on Shabbos that is an absolute necessity or that alleviates pain. All of these items, although they quote-unquote may be necessary, because they're not necessities, a person does not take his animal out with them on Shabbos. Because their concern, Rabbi says, is anything that is not a necessity. Ultimately, again, if it falls off or can fall off, the owner may come to transport it on Shabbos. So the Gemara goes right there. Fine. Chickens can't go out with the strings attached to their feet. Why? Why would you tie a string to the feet of your chicken so you can recognize your chickens? Right? All chickens, they say, chickens look the same. Right? All chickens look the same. And therefore, in order to go ahead and distinguish your chicken from someone else's chicken, you would tie a string around the foot. Velo biritsua, the avdi lay ki echidlo lit paru money. So we'll say, furthermore, you can't take the chicken out with the strap wrapped around its feet. Why would you wrap a strap around its feet? So apparently, chickens do a lot of damage when they kick up their feet. So in order to ensure that your chicken doesn't do any damage, you would tie the feet together a little bit. Then as charm yotzin ba'agala. So I'll say, ultimately, again, and the male, right, the rams, cannot go out with a little wagon underneath their tail. Again, the Gemara is just saying, why did they make the wagon? In order that the tail should not become injured or bruised. Female sheep cannot go out chanunos. So Yosef Rav Acha bar Ula kanei Rav Chista. The Yosef v'ka'amar, misha shegoz is in Oso, tomnin la. So we'll say, what's chanunos? Listen to this. So this is a fascinating explanation. So Rav Acha bar Ula said in front of Rav Chista, misha shegoz in, you know, when they would shear a female sheep. So we'll say, when you shear the sheep obviously is missing its wool. The sheep is cold. The concern is we don't want the sheep to get sick. So the Gemara says like this, from the moment that they would shear the sheep, tomnin la ozek b'shemen, So what they would do after they went ahead and sheared the sheep, they would go ahead and take a piece of cotton, immerse it in olive oil, and put it on the forehead of the sheep, so that halacha lemaaseh the sheep should stay warm. So apparently that's chanunos. So the animal can't go out with that olive oil compress on its forehead in order to keep it warm. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chista, imkin asisa mar ukva. You're treating this sheep like mar ukva. So we'll say, what does that mean? So Rashi says over here, Rashi says that mar ukva, nihagis brachel zach hashibusa shal mar ukva, shaya ashir va'av bezdin v'chider. So we'll say, mar ukva was very rich, and he was also the av bezdin. So we'll say, that's what people do when they get cold. You take a compress, right, soaked in olive oil, and you put it on your forehead. So Rav Chista said, tell me, you're treating this sheep like you would treat mar ukva. I said, this is what you do for a sheep. You give it olive oil compresses. That doesn't make sense. People do this to a sheep. So the Gemara says, Al Yasra Papa Bashmuel Kamei Rav Chista, Yasra the Kamar Bishan Shekaras Leilin. Rather, what it means as follows. When the sheep is about to give birth, Tomlin Lashne Azakin Shal Shemen, Umanichin Lash. So we'll say, we go ahead and same idea. We go ahead and we take for it two compresses of olive oil. And you put one compress on the forehead, one compress on the womb of the sheep in order that the sheep, you know, warms up and doesn't get sick. So if that's the case, you're treating the sheep like Yalsa. Yalsa was the wife of Rav Nachman, right? So in other words, you're treating the sheep like you would treat a person. That's what you do for a woman in labor also. You're right. Rather, I will say, what does it mean when we say that you can't take out the rechilim chanunos? It means, I will say as follows. There is a particular piece of wood found in the islands of the sea, and the name of this wood is chanun. And you take a little splinter of this wood and you put it in the nose of the ewe. Why? So that it should sneeze And I guess apparently sheep sometimes suffer from some type of worms in the head. This way, if you sneeze, the animal sneezes out the worms. So chanunos rabosai means this little splinter of wood. The Mishnah teaching me, you can't take the animal out on Shabbos if the piece of wood is in its nostril. Why would the piece of wood be in its nostril to cause it to sneeze and to get out headworms? So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Ihachi zicharim nami. So we'll say, but don't male sheep also require the sneezing order to get rid of the headworms? So listen to this, Shabbos, this is incredible. So zicharim, so the Gemara says, zicharim, kevan de menach, zicharim ba'adadi, menela naflon. Since apparently male rams are constantly, they're ramming their heads against each other. So we'll say, because they're ramming their heads against each other, the worms come out like that. Right? So the men are always banging their heads against each other. So therefore, again, halach l'maaseh, the worms come out like that. So the Gemara says, Shimon Azira amar kisma derisma. So Shimon Azira says, actually, it's not a piece of chanun wood, but rather it's a piece of rosem wood. He agrees, but it says rosem wood. So Mishnah and Rav Huna hayna diktani chanunos. So what's according to Rav Huna? I understand why the Mishnah calls this chanunos, because chanunos, it's called chanun wood. That's what it's called. El Rabbanan my chanunos. But according to Rabbanan, what does the word chanunos mean? That we do something for the sheep that shows our compassion upon the sheep. We take compassion on the sheep by putting a piece, a little splinter in the nostril, causing the sheep to sneeze, getting rid of the headworms. Therefore, I will say, chanunos means that Allah said the sheep cannot go out. The sheep cannot go out with this piece of wood in its nostril on Shabbos. And again, understandably so, lest it fall out and the owner come to carry it on Shabbos. Shkach HaWasa, we'll stop over here for today. I just want to give you coming attractions. For tomorrow and Friday, Emir Tzah Hashem, we have some incredible agarata. I know it's been a little bit of time since we have some agarata, some beautiful maisim, some beautiful musar. So not that anyone needs any incentive to come to shir. You come no matter what, right? Baruch Hashem. But maybe you have a friend who might need a little bit of an incentive. So make sure to spread the word that Baruch Hashem, beautiful agarata gemaras over the next few days. Looking forward to seeing everyone. Continue learning tomorrow. We'll start chakras in just a few moments. Shkach HaMaseh.